Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for another fun show. Today, we talk about recent Disney news and thoughts on the price increases for tickets and around the Walt Disney World Resort. We also talk about Galaxy's Edge impacts. What's that going to be like come late August down at Walt Disney World? We take your calls as well. We're also joined by Matt Parrish from the 3028 podcast, as well as Wedway Radio. So we have a great time on today's show. Don't forget today's episode brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time for that next Disney adventure, whether it's down to Walt Disney World, out to Disneyland, sailing with Disney Cruise Line, or even Adventures by Disney, work with the experts. The Magic for Less is a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best when it comes to customer satisfaction and the amount of trips they book to the Disney destinations each year. Drop by themagicforless.com today. Check out all the great specials we're booking through 2020 right now, and you get increased booking bonuses through July 18th. So check it out today and fill out that quote form while you're there and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at themagicforless.com. Again, a huge thank you to everybody who continues to use our Amazon affiliate link. It's at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Costs you nothing extra. You're going to get all those Prime benefits as well. And each purchase does help support the show. So again, if you don't mind, use our link and help support the Be Our Guest podcast. It's over at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1509 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are unfortunately back from Walt Disney World late last night, but of course, you can't just jump into to recording a podcast since you hit the ground. You gotta recover. You need vacation from the vacation thing is what's happening right now. So we're recording this one a bit early, and we're going to have a good time taking your calls and talking about recently current Disney news and thoughts and stuff like that. So we have a great panel assembled today, of course. She's always here, Ricky, from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less. And we got to celebrate 4th of July together this year. Pretty cool.
We did. We celebrated an Epcot, and I'm so excited because it was my first time seeing the 4th of July fireworks at Epcot, actually ever at Walt Disney World.
Wait. You didn't see them with us that night you drove us on? Was that New Year's Eve when you drove us that one time?
That might have been New Year's Eve, yeah.
I thought that was 4th of July.
Or another event. I've never been there for 4th of July. So, yeah, this is my first 4th of July.
Just for the record, I did not ride home with you this 4th of July after the fireworks. Come staying at Yacht Club.
And I'm staying at Pops, so see, no reason to ride with me. Yeah. I will have my car, or I would have had my car, but no reason to ride with me.
I'll just say that ride was in my top three e-ticket attractions ever at Walt Disney World, that right back to the hotel.
I'm all aware. It's fine. I didn't kill you, you're still alive.
It was like a Disney attraction. Like, you know, you get in, everything's good, and then something goes horribly wrong.
you didn't die. You're fine.
You're right. You're fine. All right. Also joining us, Pam is not here today. She is going to join us for the next show, but we have an awesome person sitting in Pam's seat from the 3028 and the Wedway Radio podcast, Matt Parrish. Matt, how's it going?
Thanks for having me back, guys. Appreciate it.
Glad to have you on the show. So what's going on with Wedway in 3028 here lately?
It's been an exciting summer. Lots of shows out. I'm trying to put out a show per show. Wait, an episode per show. So each of my two shows get an episode per week, and I put them out on either Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, whenever I can get them out, and you know, whenever I have time to edit, basically.
Ain't that right. The truth? I know, Ricky. How's that editing going for you? Do you like editing?
Awesome. Thumbs up. I love editing. Yeah. I don't edit crap.
So it takes a lot of time.
Yes, it does. And you're always like, at the beginning, you're always like, oh, I'm going to fix that up. And then by like 30, you know, minute 38, you're just like, that's close enough.
I keep telling Kevin on the 3028, I'm like, can we cut down these shows just a little bit? Like maybe from an hour to like 40 minutes. That would help me. Help me a lot.
Amen, brother. All right. So today we're going to talk about some stuff that's happened over the last month or so with Walt Disney World and just Disney in general. Of course, we're looking forward to D23 coming up very soon. And Matt, you are, I've heard on the show, you have plans to go out to Disneyland, right?
I do. And I haven't been there since 2013. I'm anticipating a lot of Marvel announcements, a lot of Disney Plus announcements, and maybe some Epcot stuff. I don't know. So I feel like I should be there, because I got to represent two shows now. I've got to be the man on the street for both of them and bring that news as it comes out.
Yeah, that would be an exciting time, especially considering the focus of your two shows. Now, Ricky, we talked about kind of trying to guess what D23 might bring us this year, and your comment was, "I'm scared."
I'm so scared this year because, you know, all the rumors that have been coming out this year have been like not good rumors for Disney fans, like, you know, say bye-bye to the land and the seas or say bye-bye to Country Bears. And I'm like, no, like you're taking out everything. Like I'm so scared about the rumors this year. They're making me very nervous. So like in the past, I've been really excited about the rumors. This year, I'm a little hesitant.
So what do you think, Matt? Is she onto something, or should she just kind of take a chill pill and wait till the end of August and see how it all shakes out?
I can't see. I mean, you know, Disney's formally responded to a couple of those rumors. Specifically the Epcot ones, but that doesn't mean that, you know, they won't also, you know, I don't know, that they won't pull the land or the seas away. I don't know. I don't think the land is going anywhere, but the seas has an, you know, exorbitant amount of cost maintaining that saltwater tank. I just don't know. That'd be the one I would say would go first.
Yeah. Agreed.
It makes, agreed. Do you demolish that pavilion though? I mean, come on.
It's actually one of the newer pavilions. You know, I think it opened in 86, whereas some of the other ones opened in 81, 82, 83. And it was the last one before Wonders of Life. So, yeah.
It's totally underutilized, though, because, like, personally, I've gone in there like on New Year's Eve when it's just bit, you know, like you just got to find something to do that doesn't have a line. And like we saw the manatees, we saw the fish tanks. And I mean, it's a great pavilion. But then again, I go about every fourth trip. I just never go. I never go down. I don't ride Nemo either.
And Coral Reef. You ride Nemo?
I will every once in a while, but I don't think anybody like seeks it out unless you have like a little kid.
I ride it every time. Maybe it's just me. Okay.
Yeah, but like Coral Reef. I liked eating at Coral Reef, but I never think about Coral Reef. Like it just like doesn't exist in my mind.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And I will say that's the other thing about the seas that the other pavilions didn't have to worry about is you had a handful of cast members who worked at Horizons or worked at, you know, Wonders of Life. But, you know, with the seas, it has a restaurant. It has a full aquarium. I mean, that's a lot of personnel that are attached to that pavilion, too. So, I mean, that's kind of a scary thing for people who work there well.
Yeah,
that's crazy. All right, so get your thoughts in here. We're going to talk Disney news, your thoughts on all the information, 407-413-9395. That's 407-413-9395. One of our listeners emailed me before the show, reminding me to only run one instance of Skype tonight, so that should be the case. I did shut it down to the big computer, so cross your fingers, first caller. So give us a call, 407-413-9395. Talk to Matt, Ricky, and I. And in the interim, while we're waiting for the first call, Ricky, price increases have been the news. Of course, annual prices are the cost of a small house in the Midwest. The parking prices went up by like a buck. I mean, come on. You know, like a buck. I mean, are you... never mind. It just bothers me. Like, I mean, like, you know, like, oh, we looked at it and like, you know, $13 wasn't enough at Pop Century. Let's get 15. It's like an auction or something. I don't know.
It's my biggest pet peeve. I mean, let's just be perfectly honest. I despise when hotels do these parking fees and resort fees and, you know, all those kind of extra fees that you don't know about until you get to the resort. And then they give you a bill when you think you're already done. And you're like, wait, what's all this money that I now have to pay? And they're like, oh, well, those are the resort fees and the parking fees. And it takes my bill from like something that was reasonable to something that's ridiculous. It drives me bananas. If you want to add these kind of fees to your rooms, just add it to the room price. Just do it. I know you go by the what it looks like price based off, but it, no, just add it to there. You're going to save a lot of people anger. It just, it's a lot easier. Just pet peeve.
I mean, I totally agree with you because like, if you look at a hotel like the Swan and Dolphin, they have that resort fee, which kills me, you know, like I think it's like a bottle of water, your parking, you know, a newspaper, whatever. Yeah. It's just like, I hate that. When Disney has it, they're just not calling it that because if you have a car, I mean, and some people do, some people don't, but you're getting charged at checkout. It's just the one thing I would say about a decade ago is that I never felt too much like I was being nickeled and dimed by Disney. I felt like I went down, I paid a premium, and I had a good time. You could buy souvenirs, you can do extra things, but you don't have to. But now I feel like they're trying to really, this is like the first time, like in the last couple of years, I feel like they're kind of ringing me out. I mean, Matt, how do you feel? Because I think we're all kind of in the same situation where, you know, we're just trying, you know, we're kind of middle class, we're trying to make it happen, but it gets tougher and tougher.
It does get tougher and tougher. It gets tougher. I think, you know, we're so used to having multiple trips per year, and that's where the change is coming, is where, you know, a couple extra $100 here and a couple extra $100 there. And now maybe you're not doing three trips, you're doing two trips, or maybe you're not doing two trips, you're doing one trip. And, you know, the taxes compared, you know, relative to where we live, at least in Missouri, you know, you have a lot more tourism tax. And so those are things that you don't anticipate going down either. So those are tacked onto your trip. So I think there's some external factors here. I think just because the economy is good right now, they're seizing the opportunity. And I think if it goes the other way, they'll let up on some of that stuff because demand is very important at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, it's one of those things too. I always try to just think things through and I try not to jump to conclusions. That's why we didn't do a show on this, you know, the day after it was announced, because I know a lot of shows did. And like, it's just like when I taught sixth grade, I'd always tell the kids, you know, look, talk to me in an hour, you know, like after the kid poked you in the eye, let's don't talk about it. We'll talk about it in an hour, you know, take a deep breath and we'll figure it out. So we've kind of given it time to simmer. But as I think about it, exactly, I think, Matt, you're right. I mean, the crowds are huge and they keep increasing the prices and the crowds do not go down. And so I think with this kind of more dramatic price increase, especially for annual passes, I mean, going up to $1,200 for the annual pass that I get, and I typically get four. Because, you know, we got four members of the family. So that's, I mean, it's a ton of money. And the thing is, I don't think Disney wants guests being there on annual passes. They want guests there on packages with Magic Your Way tickets. And it's also a crowd control measure, I think, because the higher you raise the prices, you're probably going to get more money, but you're also not going to have to deal with quite the crowds. Do you think it's a crowd control measure too?
I do. But personally, you know, here's what, for me, because I'm getting, I have an annual pass. For me, what it just makes me want to do is go more to get more value out of my annual pass. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I need to keep finding ways to get down there to keep getting my annual pass to be more of an even out situation. So, I mean, maybe it's doing the same effect just in a different way. I mean, it's making me go down there more, so it's making me spend more money down there. I don't know. Maybe that's really what their aim is. Like, because I feel like I have to justify the cost now, even more. So yeah, I'll book that extra trip because I have an AP that I, you know, need to get my money's worth out of.
But then again, I'm a person who really loves the moderate resorts. You know, I'm a huge fan of Coronado Springs or Riverside or, you know, any of them. French Quarter's a favorite of mine. And Caribbean Beach is on its way up. I mean, it could become everybody's favorite here in the next year because of the Skyliner and the new restaurants and the new rooms and everything. So as somebody who's trying to justify every dollar that I work hard to earn when I go to Disney, you know, I might be, you know, all of a sudden back at an All-Star Sports or a Pop Century. And it's neither, those aren't bad, but it's because you have a limited amount of money. And if it's coming, you know, if you're taking it from one pool, you got to take it from one and give to the other. How are you trying to, I mean, you mentioned the biggest thing. I think it's going to happen. You know, people that have been going with APs like four times a year, three times a year, you know, maybe Flower and Garden, Food and Wine, and maybe a Christmas trip. Maybe they just do one or two. That's kind of a shame because then your annual pass isn't worth as much, really.
Yeah, but the rooms haven't really inflated that much yet. So that's a positive. I see the passes going up and I'm like Ricky. When I spend a little more on the passes, I feel like I gotta go more. So maybe they're fooling us into going more,
spending
more money. I don't know how that's happening because I don't feel like I've paid more at the resorts than I did even like a decade ago. You know what I mean? Pop Century, you know, $50 here and there, or like Riverside, $40 or $50 here or there. Doesn't feel like a whole lot tacked onto a 5 or 6 day trip. But the annual passes, because you're dropping all of that money, at least for me, because you're dropping all that money at once, it hurts. You know,
exactly. Like, we don't have the luxury of paying on a payment plan like they do in Florida. When I'm paying full out every penny at one time. Like, they're very lucky in Florida. They get at least get to pay a little bit every month. I have to pay a big chunk all at once, and that's it. So,
yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to pay the monthly with four of them. It'd be like a car payment that I don't have a car for. You know, like it would be so, that'd be rough.
It would.
But you know, you're still paying it.
Exactly. I know you can't think about it. That's the whole thing, is you just can't think about it. Like what I've done now is, and this is stupid because I'm paying the same amount of money, but it's just the justification thing and not to make it hurt as much. All of our annual passes are due at different times of the year now. I made it intentional. Like I got mine marathon weekend. I got Pam's in May. Now I'm going to upgrade Mallory and Paige on this trip, so they'll be on the same cycle. But at least we're not all four. Yes. I mean, dude, that's $5,000. I mean,
it's crazy.
Like you better, you better like be able to bring me back to life when I get charged that for my tickets. That's a lot.
We have DVC discount, and it still feels like a ton of money. And I got one that's two that's going to turn three. So it's just going to be a
full price. Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be a mess forever. So, I mean, it will impact how much I go. I'm going to be honest with you. There's going to be some other trips. Like we'll go to Washington, D.C. or we'll do something different because we may subtract one of those trips every year.
But we still love the place. And the thing is, they're doing, you know, with Galaxy's Edge, and, you know, we're going to see this very, very soon at Walt Disney World. But what we've seen at Disneyland, I mean, they took the next step when it came to, you know, new attractions, but more importantly, new themed lands experiences with the lightsabers and the build your droids and the rest, you know, the Olga's Canteen and stuff like that. I mean, they're really doing it. And I think that's a big justification for the price increases, but it's, I don't know, Ricky. I mean, it's great to have new environments to experience. I'm glad Disney's, you know, they said this was the response to Harry Potter, and it, people are saying it's better. You know, it's like they went to the next level of Harry Potter, which was, you know, a lot of people thought was kind of unheard of. They couldn't do it and they did. But I mean, it's all coming at a cost. I don't know. It's like one of those things. Like, do I get excited? Because now it's costing me a fortune, but it's going to be amazing. I don't know. I don't know what to think.
Yeah, they're definitely passing along the buck to us, right? I mean, that's basically what they're doing, is they're like, here, we bought you this new land. Now you can pay for it.
I think Mike's right, though. I mean, for a lot of us, it's, you know, it's first world problems. It's opportunity cost. Instead of staying at French Quarter, now I stay at All-Star Movies or whatever. So it's, you know, it still becomes the same cost for a little while anyway, until those room rates go up. But at some point, those are going to go up too, I assume.
But do we think that, I don't know. I mean, because the thing is, we've been, you know, Galaxy's Edge has been on the horizon for the last couple of years. Like, oh, it's coming. You know, they're starting to build it. Now they're going to have the Star Wars Hotel, which is being built. You know, I always thought, okay, once we get past Galaxy's Edge, then there might be kind of a lull. But you got to think about it. They're really smart. Then they got the 50th anniversary of the property. So they're going to be doing all kinds of cool stuff for that. Probably new parades, you know, celebrations, maybe a couple new attractions. You got the Mickey and Minnie Runaway Railway at the studios, which I don't think is going to be that. It's not going to be anything huge, but it's going to be something. Ricky, I mean, I just think this doesn't like slow down, at least for the next 3 years. Cause I mean, Galaxy's Edge is going to hold its popularity for probably a decade.
Yeah. I mean, look at Pandora right now. We're year two in, and it's still ridiculously difficult to get on Flight of Passage and even Navi River Journey. So yeah, it's going to hold. I mean, look at Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's been there 5 years, right? So I still can't get a fast pass for that attraction.
I think is it 5 years or 7 years?
Oh my gosh, maybe it's been seven.
It was 2014 because I went down for the media event.
2014. Yeah.
Okay. So that's five, right?
Yeah. Still.
Yeah.
It is crazy. That's a good comparison, though. I mean, the thing is still hard. It's not even like a huge e-ticket attraction. It's kind of a really good themed like Big Thunder. You know.
Exactly. I can't get a fast pass for that ride to save my life. I've tried.
All right. So, I mean, I think we're excited about the future, and Disney's trying to get, you know, what they can out of it. They're a business. I mean, you got to realize, you know, we all realize that they're going to, you know, take care of the shareholders. All right. We got a call finally. Thank you. All right. Because we were rambling. Hey, who's joining us?
Hey there, this is Jen from Michigan.
Hey Jen, how's it going?
Oh, it's going. We're finally getting a taste of summer here in Michigan.
Well, I mean, you do live up in the mitten.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Go the other way.
Yeah. Get the lakes in the right place, man.
There's a reason we like to go to Florida.
I bet. So what's going on?
So, yeah, you know, talking about annual passes, we're a family of three, and we like to go, you know, once a year, and we're taking our families on, like, a multi-generational kind of trip this September, which we planned a trip around Galaxy's Edge not opening, so that backfired. But it's hopefully still going to be fun because it's Disney and everything's fun in Disney. But we really were thinking we were going to get annual passes to be able to go back a few times next year. And now we're kind of rethinking it. You know, we sit down, we start doing the math, and then now it seems like maybe it doesn't make sense anymore. And we have to go an extra time to have it really pay off in the end. And, you know, I think it's hard for, you know, an average middle-class family to try and put that together when there are other trips that you might want to take or other things that, you know, you have to take mm-hmm. care of in your life.
Yeah, I totally hear you. I mean, you know, we had a daughter just graduated college, so obviously that comes first. And, you know, my wife's a teacher. I work in travel, so it's, you know, it's not like I'm a doctor. So, you know, something like that where, you know, we got a lot of extra income, but we love this. But, for example, you mentioned how you really have to rethink. I think for the last maybe 5-6 years, it was kind of like, well, you don't have to give a lot of thought to getting an annual pass. You know, you'll go. If you go 10 days, you'll get some room discounts on hotels. You'll get some dining discounts here and there, merchandise. And it wasn't that big a deal. But for example, the way we were going down this trip, we were going to, on this past trip, we were at Riverside for 3 nights. And then we went on the 5-night cruise for the podcast. And then we went back to Walt Disney World for like 6 nights, I think. So this was a really strange situation because even if I'd have gotten Paige a 10-day hopper, because I wasn't sure if she was going to go back in the next year. She probably will, but I wasn't positive. I was thinking about getting her a Magic Your Way ticket and not upgrading it. But if I do that, we're there more than 10 days. So she wouldn't have a ticket the last couple of days we're there because we have that 5-day chunk. And now the way the tickets work, the Magic Your Way tickets, you get, it's the length of your ticket plus 2 days. So if you have an 8-day ticket, it's good for 2 days past your last day. So right. Like it's good for 10 days. You don't have to use it consecutive days, but you only get 2 days leeway where, in the old days, if you had gotten, say, a 3-day ticket, you had 14 days to use those 3 days. So even that was kind of a sneaky thing. It's an economics thing, which you don't think about, because instead of having a 5-day ticket that you buy that you can use for 2 weeks, you know, you could that gives you time to maybe go on a cruise or go over to the Space Coast or, you know, go see Busch Gardens or something. But now, because of the economics of it and how our schedule's working out, I really do have to upgrade her to an annual pass or else she won't have a ticket the last 3 days and she won't be able to do stuff with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's so crazy. But I mean, we'll still do it. But I mean, I think that's the goal of Disney though. Cause I've been working with a lot of 2020 packages for guests and you know, a lot of people are now getting Magic Your Way tickets as part of a package instead of an annual pass. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I mean, we're kind of reexamining what we want to do next year. I'm turning 40 next year, so we were trying to plan like a 40th birthday thing, and you know, I really wanted to go to Festival of the Arts, and now I feel like we have to really pick and choose again a little more how we want to spend our time down there, especially with you know all the Galaxy's Edge, and we don't know how that's going to go yet, and how you know busy it'll be next year. It just it's all of a sudden overwhelming to think about all the different moving parts.
Well, I think what it is, too, is that as Disney fans, we've been very comfortable, especially folks that are listening to podcasts, reading blogs, you know, that kind of thing. We feel very connected. We feel very comfortable with like patterns and history. And like we know how, you know, September always feels like this, you know, and December feels like this and June feels like this, where to me, and I'm getting guests asking me, well, what do you think it's going to be like in January? What are the likelihoods of a room discount? And to be honest, this is the first year. I have no idea because, I mean, it's all based on occupancy. And if the occupancies, if their hotels are 98% full, there's no reason for Disney to throw out a 30% discount at the Polynesian. I don't know. But, I mean, is that, you know, are the people that are going to Galaxy's Edge all going to stay at values and save their money to buy lightsabers? It's such an unknown. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, what do you think? Because you're going to be down there. So, I mean, you said you were kind of, you had some angst over it opening up. I mean, what's your strategy now?
When they first announced it, my gut reaction was, oh, crap, that was not what I planned. But then after kind of sitting and thinking about it a little bit, I thought, okay, well, I'm taking my daughter down there 2 weeks after school starts because she's in kindergarten, and it doesn't really matter if she misses a week of school in kindergarten. So the vast majority of people are probably not going to take their kids out of school to go to Disney World, you know, 2 weeks after school starts for a park that truly is not even actually all the way finished or open yet. I think a lot of people were probably, or unless they're local, they're probably going to wait, or unless they've already booked their trip. That's what I'm sort of hedging my bets on. So we will probably still go to Hollywood Studios and reserve the right to leave if it's horrible.
That's good. Let me ask Matt, though. I want to get his theory on this. Do you think are going to wait till Rise of the Resistance opens, or do you think they're going to be like, I'm in, get me in that line. I want to get there on Labor Day weekend.
Well, I think coming up here, we've got a pretty good barometer. Well, maybe not because it's summer. But I was thinking we had a good barometer when that four-hour window thing ends at Disneyland here. What is it? Ricky, is it like in a week?
It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
As of this recording, yeah, it's tomorrow. Yeah.
It was like 2 months ago by the time this airs. No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. So Disneyland will give us a good barometer on what that land is going to be like when you don't have four-hour reservation windows. But I will be honest with you, I have pulled my kid out of school multiple times to go to Disney, and I don't know that I'm alone on that.
So I
don't know that the crowds would be what they would be, you know, on August the 8th, but I still think there's going to be quite a few people there. I don't know that people will wait for Rise of the Resistance.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so either. Ricky, what do you think? I think the Star Wars fans are just going to be crazy. Like, they just, especially, I don't know, anybody that's kind of towards the Midwest or the East Coast, like, that have seen because I mean, what I saw on Instagram, like, I was like, oh, I got so much FOMO, you know, like I didn't even know where to go. So I think it's going to happen.
I think that the Star Wars fans and the Disney fans will probably show up. I feel like there may be a little bit of a delay, though, until they get Rise of the Resistance open, which is supposed to open by the end of this year. So it's not like there's like this huge gap that we're going to be getting. It is supposed to open by the end of the year. So it's only a few months that's not going to be open. So for 2020, it shouldn't matter. It will be open. You know, the only issue is this year, when will the crowds start descending? And I think as soon as that opens, that's when the crowds will start descending on Galaxy's Edge, because then they'll be like, okay, now the land is finished. I can get there. I think you'll have the real diehards going, like the really, really diehards like us going, you know, up until Rise of Resistance opens, or those who don't pay attention, you know, which also is a large amount of people.
That's true.
But, you know, I think those of us with annual passes will be going before the Rise of the Resistance opens.
I think there's going to be a lot of people too that want to go last minute. Like, I'm always like, it's kind of like with my iPhone. Like, I'm always saying,
oh yeah,
I'm not getting that one this year. You know, like I don't need it. Like, I totally don't need this one. I'll wait till the next cycle. And then like a week before, I'm like, I need it. And I order it. It's so sad. I don't. Yeah. So one other thing real quick, Ricky, do you think, is there anything to that rumor that maybe they'll open Rise of Resistance at Disneyland on the same weekend they open Galaxy's Edge at Walt? I think that'd be good. I mean, maybe,
well,
it makes people decide you have to go left or right, you know, like, what are you gonna do?
I don't know if they're ready for that, though.
I think
the delay is still too much. I think my thought process more is that they will probably open them up on the same day on both coasts.
Maybe, yeah.
For just the Rise of the Resistance attraction, because really they're testing them both the same way. So I would assume that what they do to one coast, they'll be able to replicate in the other coast. And that's kind of the whole idea behind it. So I don't know. I assume they'll open the same day or very close to the same day on, you know, either coast.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, so, I mean, you're going to have a great trip. Just make sure your daughter can tie her shoes if you're taking her out of kindergarten the first week of school. Just work, work on the swoops and loops.
I still don't know
how to
tie my shoes. It's fine.
No, shut up. You don't have to tie your shoes. I taught second grade, and I had a bunch of kids that couldn't tie their shoes. And guess what? Rollman didn't tie them either. So he just walked around with your shoes untied until you learned. Sorry. Enough love. Well, thanks so much for the call. I sure appreciate it. And you guys have a good time.
Oh, thank you so much. You guys have a great night.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Good night.
Oh, that's fun. That is fun. You're right. I mean, I feel for the folks, and we just had a caller that was trying to get in, so give us a call back, 407-413-9395. I do feel really bad for folks that, because we all thought it was going to open in November, December. Like, oh, I'm going to get that trip in September before the crowds. And guess what?
Spoiled.
Oh, man. But I mean, is it like unexpected joy? Because I mean, she sounded like, oh, she said it.
No, there were a
lot
of people who were kicked off. I mean, there were a lot of people who were very upset that they thought they were getting a vacation without seeing Galaxy's Edge, that they were going to avoid it all. That's why they planned their trip for that time period. And then, surprise.
You get a whole new land. You get a whole new world.
That you didn't really want.
That's it. All right, we have our next caller on the line. Thanks for your patience. Hey, who's joining us?
This is Brandon.
Hey, Brandon. Hey, how's Brandon. It going?
Hey, it's going great. I have, a comment and then maybe a question. I think my comment is that I think a lot of us big-time Disney fans are, you know, just a little disappointed in the price hikes because there's plenty of profit margin there. And I think we kind of pay the light bill. And we're the ones who are kind of going back again and again. And I would like to see, you know, some sort of loyalty or some other kind of discount for some of these fans. I mean, we're the ones who, like I said, go and we're the ones who buy a lot of stuff. What do you guys think about that?
I don't know, Matt. What do you say?
I mean, I think Brandon's on the right track there. And, you know, I think that's what they want DVC and D23 and these things to be. But I don't know that they truly have a great value because you're paying so much in to get something out. I like your idea of doing that, and I think a family like mine that goes a couple of times a year would really benefit and really take advantage of it. If we didn't feel like we had to sort of pay to play because we're already paying. I don't know how they could do it. Even if they just did it with one aspect of your trip, maybe it's the resorts, maybe it's the ticket, something. You know, it just seems like it's so hard to get a discount anywhere with Disney at all. And that is, you know, they feel like they're leaving money on the table. I think that's why they're charging an extra dollar for parking. But at the same time, you know, the economy, like I mentioned earlier, there's going to be external factors where it goes the other way. And then they're going to be hoping that we go again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Ricky, how could it work, Ricky? I mean, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I look at, you know, obviously Brian works for a large hotel company. They have a very robust loyalty program, I know for sure. And, you know, Walt Disney World, essentially, you know, we've heard this time and time again, they are essentially a hotel company who just happens to have theme parks. There are big companies like this that are very high end that offer these loyalty, perks. I mean, you know, look at Starbucks, the high-endest of coffee you've got. I mean, I have my loyalty card. I go there all the time. You know, I definitely choose to go to Starbucks over a lot of other companies because I have the loyalty card. So I think that they are, you know, it would be nice if they would offer some sort of loyalty program. I don't think that they're going to because they don't see a need for doing it. You know, it's the same reason behind discounts and will we see discount? Will we not see discount? Well, we don't really need to offer it because we know that they're coming. So why should we, you know, give them any loyalty because we already know that they're coming.
God,
so.
I hate that attitude though. Like and they do, and we do go back. I mean, but they take us for granted in a way. And I mean, is somebody who works in a small, you know, I basically run kind of an aspect of my small business. You know, I book my guests and I don't ever want to take any guests for granted. They can go to a million other travel agencies. Yeah. I want to make sure that they know that I appreciate them. And I want Disney to make me feel that way, which when I'm there and the cast members are, you know, doing their job and the waiters and the waitresses and the cast members in attractions and janitorial and they're telling me good morning. Like, I feel like I'm getting that, but I need to get that, like, I'm not asking for handouts. I don't, Brandon, how, so the thing I'm thinking about though is now that we have a My Disney Experience account and they know everything that we book and even our fast passes and our dining, they know everything. If we get a memory maker, it seems like they would now have an easier way to apply that. They know our habits and they can really reward us. You know, maybe you're locked into the annual pass price for 5 years that you paid when you bought one in 2019. You know, you're not going to get another increase till 2024 because then you're incentivized to renew it. You know, and it's like that's still money that they're going to get. I don't, Brandon, how would you make up a loyalty program if they asked you for some feedback?
Well, I think that's a good point that they're certainly collecting enough information to know, you know, who are the loyalty folks out there. And as an example, we're from Louisiana. We booked a trip and went in Mardi Gras. And when I found out about the annual pass, this is the first time I upgraded because we had next Mardi Gras a week earlier. So we were going to go the next year. So I went ahead and upgraded for the annual pass. Well, in the interim, I just booked one for a short trip for July 4th at Beach Club, and we're going to the Polynesian with some other friends for November. I mean, that's plenty of information I feel like that they have, you know, from us. And I do think that, you know, that once again, there's plenty of profit margin there. And I think that, you know, fans... You mentioned Starbucks. I mean, that's an excellent, an excellent analogy because I like Starbucks too. But part of the reason why I like Starbucks, even though it's overpriced coffee, is precisely because, you know, they seem to sort of value you as well, value me, the customer as well. And they give you something in exchange. And even though what they're giving is not a huge, I mean, it's services in kind. It doesn't cost them anything for those folks. And once again, sort of because we're the folks that are paying the bills here, you know, I do think that there's a huge fan community. I understand that I've heard some other podcasts talk about, you know, that they are, you know, really looking for the average travelers and the average families to come in, I guess, a once or twice every few years kind of a deal. But I really do feel like there are a lot of folks who are going back again and again, and that's really becoming business, at least Disney World's base. I think Disneyland's a little bit different. I think Disney World definitely has true fans who go often. And one of the reasons why we go often is because there are different resorts. We can make it different every time. And I appreciate that. And I don't mind paying a premium, but you know, with someone who does, as someone who does have a good bit of discretionary income, it's still starting to get to the point to where, you know, I have to think twice about whether I'm going to renew that annual pass and whether or not that's worth it for my family.
Well, those are great points. And the thing too is you mentioned how you have like your regular guests who are going to go for the once in a lifetime trip. And a lot of times, you know, that was us, you know, and then we got hooked.
That's because how we get enjoyed started. Exactly. Most of us. I mean, exactly. You it's thought, totally oh, I'm going to go this one time and then you drank the Kool-Aid like the rest of us have. And then you're like, oh my gosh, this is really awesome. I want to keep going year after year or, you know, whatever. Yeah, that's exactly how it happens.
But two, I mean, with that, the ravenous Disney fans that are listening today, calling like yourself, and, you know, we're all chatting here on a Sunday night on Facebook. And, you know, the one thing that we do is we evangelize the product. You know, we say you got to go to Disneyland. You got to check out Walt Disney World. You got to stay at the Polynesian. You know, it's the closest thing to the South Pacific you can get. You know, we really evangelize that. And we're, you know, especially with social media today, you know, when I go down, I'm taking 100 pictures a day.
Oh, yeah.
and you know, popping them on Snaps. I mean, I'm trying to make them look good. And, you know, what's that? It's free advertising. You know what? Like, those are you're just loyalist fans. And yes, I'm going to come back so you don't have to give me a discount. But man, would it feel nice. It would make me feel, because I don't go to Starbucks because I don't like coffee.
Right.
And I got a thing against Starbucks. I don't know. Like I go to Dairy Queen. I got a rewards program there. So I don't know what it's about, but I like ice cream better, I guess.
Starbucks is kind of like he said, you know, it's expensive coffee for what you know, coffee is cheap, but I still go there because, you know, same difference. The loyalty program, you know, it keeps dragging me in. I know I'm paying an arm and a leg for coffee, but.
Go ahead, Brandon.
But, you know, these price increases also, though, I think that they affect the first-time guests. I mean, when you feel like you're getting nickeled and dimed, like let's take the parking, for example. You're already paying a premium for, you know, hotels, particularly the deluxe hotels. You know, I think that the value resorts truly are value. I think that they're very good value. But when you get to the moderates and the deluxe and you're talking about, you know, dining packages over there and all of those things that we get or where we dine and what we buy, I just feel like they're going to ruin, or they possibly could ruin, the first time guests experience by, you know, jacking up the price. And that, to that, I would say, I think I'm a little bit would be disappointed, because I think it's ruining, that could ruin the product, which they have an excellent product.
Well, that's a great point. And the thing too is, like, we have Holiday World, which is in Indiana, and they advertise heavily in St. Louis. They're on billboards everywhere. I've never been there yet, but we see the commercials on our local market. And it's like a Six Flags, you know, it's not a big place. It's in Santa Claus, Indiana. They have some hotels in the town and so forth, but they have free soda, free sunscreen, and free parking. They advertise those three things. That's like, I can't imagine. Like, I'm thinking, okay, so if I go to this amusement park, I'm going to get free soda because I drink a lot of soda. I'm always drinking a Coke Zero. Free sunscreen. I mean, that's nice, you know, because, I mean, sunscreen isn't cheap. And I mean, you know, they feel like they're caring about it. I mean, like, it's so dumb, but I'm like, oh, they don't want me to get sunburned. You know, like, that's, they must really care. And they have this dog mascot. I don't even know, like, there's a dog or something on all their things. And, like, you know, free parking. Like, you know, well, I was like, well, that's stupid. You know, free parking. Everybody doesn't have free parking. I just learned that lesson 2 years ago. So, I don't know. And the thing, kind of going along one more time, Brandon, with what you're saying, I want to give it to Matt, because I've always said, history of this podcast, the people that should be taken care of first, DVC members, because they are investing at the highest level. They're buying basically a 50-year mortgage to have vacations there, then annual pass holders, then on down the line. So, Matt, I mean, I think that, you know, the real loyalty should go to the DVC first. And I know you get some perks, but I wish they would even extend that out even more.
Yeah, I mean, you do get perks on annual passes, but, you know, they've, I will tell you, over time, at least, especially in the last 10 years, that window, you know, they never had blackout dates in the past, and now they do. Right. And that was the thing that was only specific to, like, Florida annual pass holders. But that's not true anymore. That's a DVC thing. So even with people who have been loyal and have bought in and maybe bought in 2005, like my folks, now that window of time is smaller and the price is more expensive and you already bought in. So I feel like they kind of turned on people a little bit. They also can raise those maintenance fees too. So there are reasons that I have been skeptical, and I have told people to be skeptical about DVC, even though I love Disney and I agree with Brandon. Brandon and I have talked online that it's a wonderful product. We love using Disney. You know, those are our big trips every year. But at the same time, you should be definitely skeptical about buying into something like that, even though it's kind of a loyalty program, because they do change the rules on you a little bit. So I still think it's a good way to get value in the long term, because you do get discounts on some merch and some dining, mostly merch, but some dining. But I mean, that's really the only way right now that you're getting that. And I agree with you guys. Over the last 5 years, with all the intelligence that they've basically collected on you, I like Mike's idea of locking in rates. I think that would make me feel so much better about buying those annual passes every year. And I think I would be more likely to do it.
Well, that too. I mean, like, for example, I have an AT&T iPhone, and I've been on AT&T since the first iPhone came out, because that's all it was on. In the plan I had back when 2007, it had rollover minutes. I mean, nobody even thought about that, or rollover data, actually, rollover data. And so, like, I've stuck with them because I'm grandfathered in. Like, I feel like, well, I don't want to lose that, because that plan doesn't exist anymore. And so, I mean, they don't have to do it forever, because I know the economics of that don't work, because they're not going to want to give you an annual pass for $1,200, you know, in 2030 when that sucker gone. I think what it would be then. But, you know, like, just 5 years.
Think about that, please.
Because you could do it for a term.
Yeah,
it
for
could
5 years. Yeah, 3 years. I mean, because I'm going to renew that. It's almost like you're locking. You got me. Because
you know you're going to get the money for 3 years.
Yes, like, and you're going to get hotels, and you're going to get food, and you're going to get, you know, all the peripherals. You know, you're going to have me there in the bubble, you know, for 3 years, 5 years. I don't know. Brandon, great thoughts, though. So as we wrap it up, I appreciate you calling in and sharing all this. I mean, how do you see this going down? I mean, is attendance eventually going to drop? I mean, do we have to wait till the economy's not so hot? I mean, crystal ball, what do you think is going to happen in the next few years?
Well, I mean, you know, economies are cyclical, as you know, it's always cyclical. I think that there will be some sort of recession or something, and I think Disney will kind of fall back in line. We started going, it was post 9/11. I had graduated from school and started going. That's when my wife and I first started going, before we had kids. And that's when they were giving away free dining and all of this other stuff. I mean, they were begging for people to go.
Yes.
And I mean, we would go and we would stay at the All-Stars and go for a week for, like, I don't know, $2,000 or something like that, you know, with the dining plan and everything.
There was that advertisement of, like, $1,500 for a family of four for a Walt Disney World vacation.
I forgot about that. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was exactly how they tried to get people in. It was like, it's only $1,500, you know. Yeah.
And I think if they looked at the fan base as sort of, business wise, as sort of just what I think that we are, which is a sure thing, then let's lock them in as a sure thing from their side as well, not just from our side, not from just from the fan side. But the last thing I wanted to ask you guys, and I can hang up, but I do want you guys to talk about whether or not what you guys think about Galaxy's Edge and the Disney World version, whether or not, like, if you were king over there, what would you do in terms of the crowds and crowd control? And would you do sort of the 4-hour reservation that Disneyland did? Because I kind of like that idea. And frankly, not having a plan like that is kind of going to discourage me from going.
Brandon, you just throw out, to me, this is like the $1 million question, because
with
the scope of World compared to Disneyland, I just don't think there's a good answer, because even the 4-hour window thing, they were working with 3 hotels with on-site guests. You know, at Walt Disney World, you're talking like 22 hotels that are immensely bigger. When you got hotels like Pop Century, Art of Animation, Caribbean Beach, you know, Riverside, it just, there's so many hotel rooms that what do you get? You get 15 minute windows? I don't know. You get to go to the bathroom in there? I know, but I'm just saying, if they did, I mean, it almost needs to be, God, I don't know, Ricky. I don't know, Ricky. I don't even know what I'd do besides stand in line.
I think they are on the right track if they decide to do sort of the boarding pass thing that they're starting to do tomorrow. But, you know, when this podcast is out, it will have been well in effect. But I think that that's going to work out very well. Having been someone who's been on opening day at Pandora and at Toy Story Land and seeing those crowds, even looking at Hagrid's at Universal and seeing the crowds there.
10 hours for that thing. 10 hours exactly, on the first day. Are you kidding me? No way.
Okay, so here's the thing though. I can easily see Disney saying, hey, we're going to do that same idea, because they're going to want the 10-hour lines to have the headlines of, hey, we've got 10-hour lines to get into Galaxy's Edge.
Is that good? I mean, that's negative, I think. You don't want that. No, it scares people away.
It does scare people away. Absolutely. 100%. It makes them nervous. I think having that, the boarding pass idea, though, I think that's the best thing that Walt Disney World can do as we move forward. Once it's full, it's full. I think that by having that, it's going to be so key to getting into the land, because I've waited in those. I mean, luckily I haven't had to wait in the lines. I've had a fast pass to get on attractions in those lands. So that allowed me to bypass everybody. But this attraction does not have fast pass, so there literally is no way to bypass that line with this ride if they are going to do a huge line. So I say a boarding pass idea. They're not going to have a time limit window on there. I think, you know, once you've done a lot of things in the land, you feel comfortable leaving the land. But I think boarding pass is probably going to be the best way to handle it.
Yeah, I think it needs to be virtual. You don't want to have just people all the way out to, you know, all the way down to boardwalk. You know, like, seriously. Matt, how do you see it going down? I mean, because, you know, you talked to Kevin, who was at Disneyland right when it opened. So he gave some feedback. I mean, of course, that's a different beast, though, a lot smaller.
Yeah, I mean, they had guaranteed windows of time for resort guests, and that's what Kevin was. He stayed at Grand Californian. I've had some other friends that were in the same boat where they reserved it. They weren't staying at a resort, but they were able to get, you know, times to go in. I don't know how you do that with, you know, 15 resorts. You know what I mean? That doesn't make any sense. Mike mentioned that there's too many, the volume is too high on resort guests automatically getting a 4-hour window. I didn't mind, you guys can disagree with me, I didn't mind extra early magic hours in the morning and late magic hours at night, so that everybody feels like they get a time. That's not going to help you with that attraction. It's not. But it does allow everybody to get in the land. My fear on the passport or the queue system going into the land is that people literally won't be able to get into the land because of that system too. So to me, that's not a foolproof system either. And I worry about somebody who gets to the park at, you know, 2:00 and who brought their kids there for one day and they're not able to get in. So I don't think you should limit access to get into the land, I think you should expand the windows of time where people can get in. If that means you got to get open at 6 a.m. and stay open till 1 a.m., that's what it means. And that won't be forever, but you know, you got it. Maybe they do that the first year. I feel like that actually worked at Pandora. I was able to experience everything I wanted to experience in that land in 2017. It was the only big thing opening that year and everybody was there. I went the first month and was able to do everything.
That's true. I think extended hours are going to be key. You know, have it open till 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it's going to be wreak havoc on that park. I mean, the park's going to be wreaked havoc on anyway, but, you know, it's going to wreak havoc on that land anyway. So you might as well have the park open as long as you possibly can to get guests in there.
It's good. It's a good thing they built it to kind of look worn as it is. You know, like
exactly.
It's going to be worn out in a month. It's going to be open 24/7 like a Quickie Mart.
Yeah.
Well, one thing to consider about that is, you know, we have kids that are 6 and basically my son's almost 2. I mean, you know, I think that is a great idea. I think that's the first step is to have these bookend sort of extra magic hours. But I would also say that for folks like us, we can't really, you know, capitalize on that with kids that go to sleep at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, even with Eastern time or in Central time. So that's why I think that they need to do something. I don't mind a virtual queue or something like that where you come back. I mean, even if it's the day of and you get there at 10 in the morning or 9 in the morning and they tell you to come back at 5 in the afternoon, at least that's something. But I think they need to do something.
Or maybe they make it so, and again, I'm always trying to see it from Disney's point of view, like how financially would this be beneficial to the company where if you book a package of 4 nights or more, that you get a reservation for 4 hours, because then, you know, you're not looking for a particular day. You're looking for a window of you get 4 hours within 4 or 5 or 6 days that you're there, because then it incentivizes you to be there for multiple days where, of course, you're locked in. You're going to be in the bubble. You're buying the meals. You're buying the souvenirs. You're going to the other parks, too. And then you are guaranteed with at least a 4-night minimum package. You get a reservation instead of just somebody going down for a weekend. What do you think about that?
Ugh, I think that's good. The other comment I wanted to make too real quick was that I know Kevin reported it and other folks reported it that in Disneyland, it was like a ghost town the rest of the park, because I think people were kind of scared away by the crowds. So my only, I guess, overall macro comment is that they need to do something, because I think people are scared away by the crowds. I can tell you I am. I may, you know, on these next couple of trips, I may just steer clear of studios after Galaxy's Edge opens. So I'm in the camp that thinks that they need to not only do something, but they need to announce that they're going to do something, because I do think that a lot of fans are going to steer clear.
And by the time the show airs, I'm sure they've announced the strategy, because that's how this works. We record early. They always drop the news to make us sound like we're way
absolutely.
Old. It's like so old. Yeah. That's how it always happens. But yeah, Brandon, great thoughts. Just real quick. Matt, let me ask you about that. I mean, I had a thought and I just lost it. Oh,
okay.
No, because he had a great thought. Oh no, the scared away. Like, I think it would be a great time to go, because I think, you know, if say you're not into Star Wars, I don't think the crowds are going to be any worse. I think they might. I think you might have a really nice run over at like Epcot or the Animal Kingdom over Labor Day weekend. You know, I don't know, because the thing is, Walt Disney World's so big and there's so many people in the hotels. I don't know how crazy it'll get. What do you think it'll be like Disneyland was, where it was a ghost town outside of Galaxy's Edge? I don't know.
I don't think so, because people have, you know, I feel like Walt Disney World travelers set those dates out further.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
True.
And you just have so many more day park visitors at Disneyland versus Walt Disney World that I'm planning, even if it's 2 months out, I plan those trips. So I feel like those are harder to change at the last minute. Whereas Disneyland feels more, it's like me going to Silver Dollar City. If it's crowded on a Saturday, I'll go next weekend or whatever. So no, I will say, Brandon, really quick, those morning extra magic hours, though, they did that at Pandora, and my son was 5 at that time. I know that's not 2 years old, but the morning extra magic hours at Pandora were great. They really were. And we were able to get on the attraction. We were able to eat breakfast or early lunch or whatever down there. And so if you do have kids, that morning time is not bad.
Oh, I'm going to do it. They're just going to deal with my grumpy son.
I'm going to tell you this, Brandon. When they're 11, don't even try it. Because my daughter, she would punch me in the nose. There's no, she would hate. There's no way she would get out of bed. So, yeah, do it when they're younger, not when they become like preteens and think they own the world.
Oh, I think that they're already 3-nagers, I think is what we call them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
I love it. Well, Brandon, thank you so much for adding so much to the show today. We sure appreciate it. Great thoughts. And give us a call next time.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks so much. That's a great call. Brandon has so many good points there.
So much to think about. Oh, my God.
He's a smart guy. You got to watch out for him. He's actually a really great guy. We've interacted before online, and he listens to our show. He's a pretty loyal listener as far as I know, but he's very sharp. So nothing gets past Brandon, that's for sure.
No.
Now I'm wondering, because I bet you we're friends on Twitter, and I don't even know. Like, I hate that.
Could be.
Anyway, that's fun. So we're going to wrap it up and call it a show. Thank you to everybody who joined us here live on Facebook. It was a lot of fun. Matt, thanks for coming on the show. And keep up the good work with Wedway Radio and 3028. How can people check you out?
They can find us on iTunes or Stitchers. 3028 is the weird one. You got to spell it out. 30. We haven't fixed that yet. We should. 30 is spelled out. 20. 20 is the number. And 8 is spelled out as well. And so that's kind of, it's like finding a speakeasy, right? You got to know how to find
it. You got to know the lingo, right?
You got to know the secret handshake.
The secret code, yes.
Yeah, it's like Club 33. You didn't know that door went into a club.
That's right.
Right?
No.
That's exactly what we're doing. And then, of course, Wedway Radio, we've been around for 10 years. I think just a hair shorter than you, Michael, which kills me.
Right. It's kind of like the Cardinals and the Royals.
Right, exactly. Oh, that was longer than a hair shorter. That's only 60 years between those two teams. But still, yeah, and Wedway Radio, you can find us there. And, of course, I try to do some regular stuff on our Facebook page on Wedway Radio, and then we keep up mostly on Twitter and Instagram for the 3028 show. We're going for the younger crowd.
That's right.
The hipsters. Yeah. The hipsters. I get it. I feel like with you two, I feel like I'm really, really old with you and Ricky talking to you guys.
Right.
You are. Right.
I need to go get my cane real quick. Okay, so Matt, you mentioned last time you were on with us, and it was a good time. We talked a little bit ago. You have this new industry, but you're doing the candles. How's that going? Is that going pretty well?
Oh, yeah, the candle thing. I didn't even mention that. That's cool.
How's Clark doing making those wicks? Running the books.
I'm trying not to make any work for myself is what I'm trying
to do. I'm trying to help you out here, buddy. You got to pay the bills.
We got to keep the lights on. Right?
That's right.
There's a cool way you can support the Wedway Radio show, and that's through Marceline Square, which is a collection of Disney-inspired scents. Right? Disney-inspired scents.
Oh, yeah.
So we've created them based on scents that you know in the Disney parks. They could be anything from Pandora to, maybe a lobby of your favorite resort or whatever. But MarcelineSquare.com is where you find that. And again, this is very new. My wife has already had a candle business, soy candles, non-carcinogenic candles that burn for a long time, business for a long time. And so we decided to sort of marry our interests together.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and people can help support the show because we do incur costs on podcasts that we don't, get recouped for. They can help support the show that way by taking home something.
I love it. You're telling me that 0 times 0 equals 0, right?
It's not
that's
even
exactly
that.
What I get. Yes.
I wish the bill from Podbean every month was 0. Close the sucker. It gets bigger every month. But no, so I've already ordered the Adventureland pass-through bathroom candle there.
Oh,
the breezeway candle. Yes. It smells like an old diaper, Mike. You're going to love it.
Nice. That's the one I want. Yes.
I will tell you, I have been through that breezeway recently, and it didn't smell as diaperish as I remember.
What about the theme park throw up smell? Is that one?
Ricky's always got to go the extra mile there. She can't just leave it.
We don't have that. We don't have that.
All right.
Thank you, Ricky.
I have that smell of the cleanup stuff.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah. That's good. We don't. We in elementary school, we called it the pixie dust. So I'm just saying.
Right.
So,
the sawdust.
Yes, call the pixie. Yes. No, stop. I'm about
just
to gag.
Yeah.
Would you stop? I'm about
we
to
don't
gag.
Have that.
I can't
we
even.
So
I won't even be able to finish the show now because I'm about to gag. Anyway, we're getting out of here. The show brought to you today, unfortunately, by the Magic for Less Travel. So glad Pam's not here today.
They're so thrilled.
But when you're going on your next Disney adventure, seriously, check them out over at themagicforless.com. See all the great specials. Book in 2020 packages right now, all the way through 2020 for the Disney Cruise Line as well. So check them out at themagicforless.com. Also, when you do that online shopping, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and it really does help support the show. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter @BeOurGuestMike and BeOurGuestPod. and drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to get out of here, and we'll be back again on Monday with another great trip report. So for Matt and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.